in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Hello and welcome to the Off Panel Podcast, the comic show where attentions are high and the ink is fresh. I'm John Lees and tonight I'm joined by Sergio Martinez.
Hello.
Mercy Mueller, back after a long absence. And she's still absent.
Hi.
And today we've got a special guest in the form of a TV star in the UK. the co-host of the best podcast on the interwebs, apart from this one, the Janie Godley podcast, which is a mother and daughter comedy podcast here in Scotland. It's Ashley Story. Say hello.
Hello.
We'll explain the reason for having Ashley on a little bit later. But for now, how was everybody's week?
Awesome.
Pretty good. I guess I could have read my comics this week. I read all but two, but I've kind of gotten back into a game, and it's kind of sucked me back in. So I apologize. I didn't read Daredevil this week or Peter Panzerfaust yet.
Well, that's the most important part of anybody's week.
What game are you playing?
What was
that? Was I playing?
Uh-huh. Oh, well... I used to be pretty hardcore in DC Universe Online. Like, I was one of the top healers for PvP and such.
Nothing says hardcore like DC Universe Online.
I was really, really into it. And now I'm back with my old league. And it's just that I've been trying to catch up. So,
running with grinding a lot of gear.
No, I understand. I understand completely. Sorry. I was a big archer on RuneScape. And then my mum made me cancel my account.
Oh, the tragedy.
I know, and yeah, somebody stole my whip.
I hate when that happens. Yeah, I had a pretty uneventful week. Today it was my first film for the Glasgow Film Festival this year. It was this film called Baby Call, starring, what's her face? Noomi Rapace from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's a good movie, although the highlight of the movie was probably standing in the queue behind this middle-aged couple that get into this really awkward fight, what in the heck, and I couldn't go anywhere. They started arguing about why they were going to see this movie, and then the guy was kind of drunk, and he kind of just started shouting, like, you know, fuck this shit, I'm off, which you only get in a Glasgow film festival. and as he's walking out of the cinema, he points at some guy in the queue and goes, look at that tattooed cunt there.
Wow.
Classic Glasgow.
Yeah. So, of course, only like the Glasgow Comic Con is the only Comic Con where you had like Mark Millar doing the panel, and you hear someone in the back saying, "Speak the fuck up!"
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the acoustics were quite bad.
That's funny.
So, yeah, what about you, Mercy? How's your 2 months been since the last time you were on?
Well, the last 2 months have been great. I have a new car, and a new computer, and a new tablet.
Well done. Is that all for Christmas?
Wow.
Yes. Anyway, new comics this week. What did everyone get?
I didn't get a new comic book. I just got a comic or a graphic novel, I'm afraid.
What was it?
It's called Grondville, and it's about a badger crime fighter.
Oh, I think I've heard of this. Who's the author again? It's some guy that's from Scotland, I think.
It's Brian Talbot.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of things about that. It's supposed to be really good from what I've heard, so good choice.
It's well good. And it's got a badger who fights crime, so when is that never a good thing?
That's sold for me. I had a pretty light week this week. You know you're kind of sad and too addicted to comics when you walk into the comic shop and you pick up two books and you actually spend about 5 minutes like scanning the shelves going, it can't only be two books I'm getting.
That's what I did this week.
Yeah, I only got Batman and Wonder Woman. Both very good, but I'll talk about them more a bit later. What the rest did you guys get?
I got Wonder Woman number 6. Nightwing number 6. I read my brother's Batman number 6. Before the show, I read Catwoman number 6. Sadly, I did not read Daredevil or Peter Panzerfaust by Image. And then I also didn't read Super Dinosaur. So some of my some of my favorite books I couldn't get around to. Stupid DCU. Oh, so
you're getting kicked from the podcast, Serge. That's not.
I still read 4 books.
Marseille, could you wait 20 seconds and then tell us what books you got this week?
What did I read? I read Catwoman, Supergirl, Wonder Woman. I read The Red Hood. I don't know why I'm reading that comic. And then the Peter...
Panzerfaust.
Did she cut off? Whatever. Or is she just
She's still alive. So, yeah, in terms of our books and what was good and what wasn't, I'd say Batman, of course, because I'm biased, but Batman was absolutely amazing this month. It continues to be the best book that DC's putting out. It was just crazy, this whole fight scene. You can really get a sense that after like Batman hitting rock bottom last month, it seems going to be the tide's kind of turning and it's going to be like the whole comeback story now, which is how these things tend to go. And I just loved how the art just seemed to be twisting, you know, back and forth between what was going on in his head and what was actually happening. So yeah, good stuff.
I enjoyed that number six. Whoa, why am I echoing?
You're not echoing?
I'm echoing bad hardcore.
I don't hear it. Must just be in your head.
I can hear it.
Yeah, why am I echoing?
Because there's a man called Bargeman.
Yeah, is this
Bird is being silent.
Here's the chat, it makes his echo.
Okay, now it's over, yeah. Alright, so yeah. I read Batman number 6, and yeah, it was good. The art was awesome because you really get a feel that he's like really, really like out of it. But at the same time, okay, how can I say this nicely? I don't want to insult the title. I'm more so targeting the new fans. I hope that they understand that this is a good story for the story, not because, oh shit, Batman, who's supposed to be unbeatable, is getting his ass kicked when obviously Batman is human, you know? I don't know, because I have so many people that I talk to that are new to comics, or they play the DC game I play with. They're like, Batman's the shit, man. He can do anything. It's like, no, he can't. He's still a man. So like, I hope people realize that this is a good book because of the story, not because Batman's actually vulnerable. Like, I don't know. That's a little rant for me. Bird's sake. So, I'm sorry. It's like built up over time for me.
Yeah, it's a deep frustration that's been simmering in your soul.
Yeah, because like people need to praise the Batman stories for the right reasons.
Okay,
I guess you can say.
Well, I guess like you know that it's all variations of theme. This kind of story's been done a lot of times, where it's like you know the unbeatable foe comes and like you know even Batman can't stop them, you know, but then he can because he's fucking Batman.
I felt it because this is like a big fight scene issue is why I felt that. I had to get it out, you know? But continue.
So yeah, apart from that, the book I read was Wonder Woman, which continues to be good. I wasn't sure what to make of Wonder Woman at first because Brian Azzarello's writing, as I've said before, seems a bit kind of cold and smarty pants. But he's getting to grips with the story, and it's very gradually starting to come together and make sense. There's a kind of cool kick-ass action sequence in this one, so yeah, another successful book, I'd say.
I have a question. Is this artist, is he taking over, or is this
no, it's a villain artist, just for a couple of issues.
Okay, because I think that his style of storytelling makes it confusing for me. Like I have to slow down and read each panel slowly, because like the way he's portraying some of the panels, I'm like, okay, wait, it jumped from where to where? I don't know. I feel a little uneasy with this villain artist. But I've enjoyed the story still. I just want to say a glitch to that.
So, yeah, any other books anyone wants to talk about? Marseille, you want to talk about any of your books?
I don't really have that much to say about them. Other than pretty much given up on Catwoman. There's just no class with her anymore in the character.
Is it because is it the violence or is it what?
I don't know.
It's because she's a slut.
Yeah, there's that too. I don't know. It's just she seems greedy.
Seems what?
It's just not something I like that much.
The whole book is just kind of... I mean, I said, I'm only going on the first issue still, but it's just so embarrassing.
It's still...
I still have that first issue for all. I know, like, issues 2 through 5 could have cured cancer, but issue 1 was enough for me. To set the scene, I'm sure I've already complained about this in the podcast at some point before, but it ends with this kind of, like, pure softcore Batman Catwoman sex scene where he shows up and he might as well have said, I'm here to fix your plumbing, you know?
and then the voiceover
actually says he doesn't take long, he never does, and then you see them later, he's like hanging over her, you know, and like, my god, in a comic book.
Did she look happy or sad?
she always just kind of looks vaguely slutty with a wee smirk. So
here's what I'll say about the title, because I've been reading every issue so far. When Wednesday came around today, this week, I was like, okay, do I keep getting Catwoman? And part of it has been because the art is so appealing to me, like the style, not like obviously because the guy draws are sexy, the fact that I like the art. And I was like, okay, let's look at the preview. Okay, I'll check it out. And I don't know, for me, it's not a great book. It's not an awesome book, but I'm still enjoying it to a degree. Like I'm fine with her attitude. I'm fine with how she's acting. I'm surprised about some of the gore though. Like when she gets really like put into a corner, like Kitty comes out, like she goes ballistic, like tears people's ears off and everything. So that, I don't know. I'm still enjoying it. As for this next issue though, I can't really tell what's going to happen. So I'm not sure. We'll see what the preview shows for next month.
Marseille's asking me to say something for her, so I'm not sure if she means, like, say
it. She said that the art is pretty.
She says the art's pretty, but she doesn't enjoy it anymore. I'm not sure if they've said that as Marseille. Like, you know, the art's pretty, but I don't enjoy it anymore.
That's just so offensive, John.
Yeah, not sexist as possible in terms of setting up the question later on.
Of all the episodes for you to be sexist, right?
I know.
Consider the topics.
Yeah. speaking of the topics, are we ready to go on to talking points of the week?
I wanted to mention the book I enjoy the most.
Who cares what you think, Serge? You didn't read your books this week.
I did. I read 4 out of 6. That's pretty good. You read
What was your favorite?
I actually enjoyed Nightwing the most this week because the arc continues to be amazing with this. Whenever Barrows is on the book, there's a filler artist like on issue 4, I think. And I don't know, I guess because I was so skeptical about the idea that they're doing a story with the circus, I really enjoyed it. They kind of went with a pretty big cliche, but it's passable for me. And I guess because Batman number 6 was more of a huge fight scene and escape, whereas Nightwing was, there was more scenery, it felt longer, I enjoyed it more. I don't know, but that was the book I enjoyed the most this week at least.
So yeah, I guess like that's about, we usually go through all our books and stuff, but I'm not sure like if it's really worth the while if Marseille can't sort of like talk about our books and stuff. But so maybe we're just going to topic. The main topic of the week, I guess, it's been a kind of slow week after the smorgasbord of news that was crammed into last week's jam-packed show. This week it's been kind of dead. But one piece of news that came up was the guest list for KapowCon in London in May was released, and it was kind of conspicuous the fact that it was entirely made up of men. And when Mark Miller was questioned about this, he said, well, there are no female comic creators. And someone listed a bunch of American creators, and he said, well, there's no British comic creators. And then someone listed a bunch of British female comic creators, and he said, well, they don't count. And so that's kind of like re-stirred up the old debate of a woman properly represented in comics. And Paul Cornell, the writer of comics,
Doctor Who.
Yeah, and Doctor Who as well. I posted up on his blog that from now on, when he's on a panel that has more men than women, he will give up his seat and get a woman from the crowd to replace him. Ideally, another professional that's in the audience, but if not, just a fan. Because he thinks that it's better to have a 50-50 split of men and women on any discussion to create a more balanced perspective. And we're actually trying that this week as well, by having two women and two men. And so, yeah, I just guessed what the question would be, what are everyone's thoughts? And I guess since Ashley's our guest, like, what are your thoughts? Do you think, like, you know, it's a good idea to have, like, this equal representation of women in panels?
Right, well, firstly, I just want to say that everything I'm going to say is just my opinion and is not necessarily reflective of society.
Or all womankind.
Uh-huh, because that's a kind of common thing when you talk about women. You assume it's feminism, and I am by no means a feminist. I'm an equalist. I just believe in equality, and I kind of find it a bit offensive that in this patronising way he's just having to find women from a crowd to put on a panel to represent us. Like, but then again, you know, doors have to be opened, sometimes booted open, but there we go. I think that there are women in the comic book industry. There are women who write stuff that's for men and women. But I think as long as women continue to pigeonhole themselves by just writing stuff for girls, they're not going to get invited on panels because it doesn't appeal to a mass audience. It appeals to a small group of people, women. Yeah. And men don't do that. Men don't write comic books for men. I enjoy comic books that have a male protagonist. Yeah. I don't assume that's for a man. So I don't see why I should assume that a comic book with a female protagonist is for a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as you market something just to women, you're just as bad as the men.
Yeah, like, I think that's such a good point. They argue the whole thing, like, you know, the question of why aren't there more female creators kind of stems back to, like, why aren't there more female readers almost? Because, like, there is a lot of, like, you know, women think if they're writing something, if it's something for a female, it has to suddenly be alternative and off in the corner. You know, why not write something that's for everybody, you know?
Yeah. And also I find that a reason why a lot of women aren't into comic books, and I know this is because I'm a noob at this. I just got into it a couple of years ago. And the one thing I found really hard was the fat patronising man in the comic book shop who talked down to me. Yeah. And I think that that's why a lot of women wouldn't go in, because it's especially Glaswegian women. If you go in, he's like, listen, sweetheart, do you want some manga? No, fuck you. I'm going to poke you in the eye. Get me something with blood and guns.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. No, it's not necessary. It doesn't necessarily have to be. Like, I think that kind of reflects in not just comics, but, like, you know, all forms of entertainment. You see, like, you know, it's kind of depressing. We have a lot of, like, talented female directors, but the big pits that are women's pictures are always these insulting, like, you know, dumb movies like Mamma Mia or fucking Sex in the City, as if, like, you know, if a movie's marketed to women, it has to be about, like, shoes and sex and, like, you know,
oh, it's so offensive
and bullshit.
And it's, well, but again, it's women and men's fault. Sorry to interrupt you. It's not just men's fault. This is women create this society as well. It's not all men have put us down and pigeonholed us. Women pigeonhole each other constantly.
That's a good point as well.
My take on the whole thing is that, because this kind of incorporates several things that obviously Paul Cornell addressed recently, that the UK Conyers are talking about addressed recently, and also what was addressed months ago back in August and September with DC's doing the New 52, when that fan, you know, brought up all this stuff about women not being presented enough. My take is this. Okay, in terms of some people feel that it's the representation of women in comics. Some people feel that it's because there's not enough good role models in comics. And to me, like, I have no problem with more female characters, female creators. I have no problem at all. More female, you know, more of a female presence in the industry is perfectly fine with me and fan-wise. But it kind of goes back to last week when I answered my opinion about the whole, how do you feel about a book being canceled that was starring a black character? I brought up how I don't have a connection to a character because he's the same race as me. Same with Sex. So I think all the people that over the past few months have been stabbing at DC and Marvel for saying how's my daughter supposed to connect to them? It's like, it's not about connection because of the race or a role model. Like I didn't like Superman as a kid. I don't like him now, but as a kid, it wasn't because it was a role model. It's because he was super. He was cool. It was fun. If it was a girl, it doesn't matter to me. So I'm all for it. I just feel like people need to, like, stop pointing fingers saying it's because of this. Like, just
yeah.
Like hire the people that's talented. There's plenty of female creators that could get more jobs. Like, it's good that Nicola Scott is finally going to be getting that JSA book out. So I don't know. This is such a big topic, and there's been so many little nitpicks the past like 6 months that I'm kind of annoyed about people, I guess, overreacting. Not saying that it's that this shouldn't be addressed. Is that the people who always make those comments that are like, oh, it's because they're sexist, and I don't know. I
don't think it's sexism by the comic book industry. I think there's just an inherent gender unbiased, like a gender unbalance, sorry, in society. It's not the comic book industry, it's the entire world.
But yeah, I mean, but here's the point, like, that I've been considering. I do agree that I would love to see more women get hired and have more female voices in the comic industry, but at the same time, I think that a female writer should be hired, or a female artist should be hired based on merit rather than just because the room I think that could backfire.
Or defos.
I mean, for example, Ashley, would you, if Marvel came up to you or DC came up to you and said, we'd like to hire you as a writer to write Wonder Woman or to write Superman, would you rather it was, because they said we've been reading your stuff, do you think you're a great writer, could you come and do this? Or would you say, well, we're looking for women so we can have an equal balance of women, so you'll do because you have boobs, you know, can you come and join?
Yeah, quota.
Oh, no. Definitely, because I think that positive discrimination is always bad, but again, sometimes it's necessary in a society where you're discriminatory, but I wouldn't want that. And it's like when I write for TV, I've been asked to come and do sketch shows by women for women. No, I don't want to pigeonhole myself, and I don't want to just be there because I have a vagina.
Yeah. What do you think, Marcy? Leaving you out. Nicole, what's your whole idea, your whole perspective on the issue?
I'm fine. I'm sitting here playing Fruit Ninja. Anyway.
Playing Fruit Ninja. Wow.
Well, first of all, the first topic, I'm a little confused with the topic. I thought you were talking about Paul Cornell's comment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like women in general in the industry. What do you want to say?
Well, my first thing with that is, if I was going to a panel to see a particular panel of creators and stuff, I'd be really ticked off if they just, like, pulled out some random female fan from the crowd just to fill a quota. Actual comic book writers, I don't want to have a female just have a female. I do predominantly like to read about female characters. A lot of the comic books I read pre-New Universe or whatever had a lot of... They were female teams, but there were a lot of other teams that had lots of females on them, like JSA and Birds of Prey and things like that. But I don't really care who writes them as long as they're good stories and the characters have done justice and the stories are interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's basically like the main issue. Like, you know, that if you start saying, like, you know, there's nothing worse than something that's self-consciously created for a particular audience, you know, especially if, like, you know, it's, like, let's say if it's a book, you know, that's for women, but, like, the masterminds behind it are a bunch of men around the table thinking, what are women like? I think, like, you know, that's the way of, like, you know, disaster. You write something that you think everybody will like and not appeal to, you know, like, you know, people, not just, like, men or not just women, and that's the way to go forward, I think.
But when women do that, when women write just for women, it shows a lack of confidence in their own work, that they're so self-conscious that it's not going to be good enough for men almost.
Yeah, scandalizing themselves.
It's a shame because, I mean, like, one of my favourite comic books, and everybody disagrees with me on this, is Powers. And I don't think that's a male comic book. I think that's a really even gendered comic book. There's really strong female characters in it. There's weak female characters. There's strong men. There's weak men. I think it's actually a really good balanced comic book.
Yeah.
You brought up a very good point. You mentioned type of characters like weak men, weak women, strong women. That's one thing that I forgot to bring up because, like I said, I'm having trouble like putting into words how I feel because it's kind of been like over the 6 months of time. But yeah, that's too about weak, different type of characters. Like if you have a female character and who's to say that there is not a strong type and a weak type? We know that there is. When people get mad because, oh, they introduced this type of character, why they have to make them like that? It's like, well, are you going to deny that there is that type of person? You can't deny it. So that's why, like, myself, whenever I'm trying to write any of my side stuff for fun, I'm like, okay, what kind of character do I want to do? I'm not concerned about how people perceive it in the RPGs or this little side comic that I'm slowly working on. It's the fact that it's like, what would be good for the story? What would make sense? You know,
I think as a woman, write for what I would enjoy, you know, and I think that's what most writers do. They write for what they would like. And I think it's weird that women just want to read about women.
Yeah.
Because we know lots of women. And as a writer, I get this constantly. I write women terribly. I write men, like, amazingly. But women, I'm so shit at writing women. I just don't get them.
Like, I don't
get what producers think women are in television. Like, when I hand in my scripts to get notes back and they say, oh, you didn't write the women very well. But those are the kind of women I know. They're just not the stereotyped women that you portray in your shitty programs.
Exactly. I mean, it's an extreme example, but I'm reading Why the Last Man right now, and the setup for that is, like, a virus has killed every single man on the planet except one. There's only one man left, and, like, and the rest of it is a cast full of women. And because the whole ensemble is made up of women, there's no choice. You can't have, like, the token woman. This is a woman, you know, for women readers to relate with. You know, everybody is a woman, so they all have to have characters in their own story in their own right. Like, and that's what all should be like, really, you know. And it's a male writer that's doing it, and, you know, they don't necessarily think, like, you know, this is a story that's about women, so let's get a woman to write it and target it to women. Like, you know, it's a book that can get read, you know, by men or women. It's not necessarily a cast of women, it's a cast of characters.
Well, yeah, it kind of goes with the whole criticism of Catwoman number one, Red Hood and the Outlaws number one, and Wonder Woman number one. That there you have three different types of characters, and people are flaming about the quote-unquote more negative ones, when really, in the end, it is, you know, just writing different types of characters is different types of people, period, you know?
Yeah.
You said period.
Bring the tone down. So, yeah, I guess, like, you know, the only other point I was going to add before we move on was, like, going back to the whole idea of, like, getting jobs in industry, like, you know, I think, like, if you start thinking about an equal balance of men and women, it can be, like, let's say, for example, you have, like, 10 slots open for a job for, like, staff writer positions, and 100 people applying for the job, and 5 of them are women, and 95 of them are men, you know. You're basically saying if you're a woman, you have, like, 100% chance of getting that gig, and if you're a man, you have, like, you know, whatever, like, a 5/95%, is that percent? 5/95 chance, I forgot my maths, of getting the gig, like, you know, so it's not equal, it's actually, like, uneven in a lot of ways.
And also there has been, like, back in the 40s, there was amazing female comic book writers who weren't writing for women but who were just writing good comic books, like Patricia
and
Highsmith
artists.
Patricia Highsmith, who wrote Strangers on a Train, you know, the Hitchcock film. She used to write a comic book called The Black Terror, who was a pharmaceutical man who made tinctures to give himself superpowers, and it was incredibly popular in its label. And it was really cool. And also people are always saying, oh, like, Lois Lane's just a sidekick and Superman and that. But if you think about when it was originally written, she was a journalist.
Yeah.
There weren't that many women journalists at that time.
And on top of that, she was kind of like a tenacious, kind of like strong character, like, you know, who kind of bossed Clark about. And it wasn't like a just simple and damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm. I think we've gone backwards.
Regrets.
Well, when DC was first addressed with this whole situation months ago, they revealed how, like, the question was hiring women. The turnout was that they have most of their women are, like, the editors and such. So I guess if there was more way to give, like, more insight as to what the editors do on certain books, certain titles, like suggestions they made that were in the final, you know, product, I guess that could be something to give the editors more credit, because they seem to have a lot of females in the editors in higher up positions than creators. So
I guess general consensus then would be like 50-50 split equals bad.
I mean, does my fellow vagina have anything else to say on the subject, regardless of the flag?
Maybe she's no. Like,
okay.
You have to wait for her, John.
John's always jumping the gun, don't worry.
You can cut that out.
Okay, I guess move on then. Something else for her to add.
That note. So yeah, I guess the other topic of the week, and isn't really as much a new topic as a continuation of last week's discussion, which is
the outrage of last week.
Yeah, which is the artist Sean Murphy has said he will no longer take any requests to draw Marvel or DC characters at conventions, because based on Gary Friedrich, the Ghostwriter creator, getting sued in his earnings at conventions selling Ghost Rider prints, you know, are being penalised now and used against them. And it's this idea that now that a precedent's been set, are all these like freelance artists at conventions drawing pictures of Spider-Man or Batman that are technically belong to corporations, you know, are these corporations within their right to then hunt down these people and give them cease and desist letters? What do you think of the situation? Do you think it's right for Marvel and DC to be doing that? Should people, you know, be focusing on drawing their own creations, you know, or is when someone goes to a comic convention, do they want an artist to draw a picture of Spider-Man for them?
I thought that this was already addressed. Like, I thought that we were going to discuss the Marvel's reply.
Oh yeah, because Marvel replied.
Yeah, they had a reaction to that, and it was actually positive.
Yeah. Yeah, but Marvel have said, like, you know, that no, we assure you this won't happen, yada yada yada. But yeah, I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's still a risk, or do you take Marvel's word for it, or what?
Well, DC never addressed that response, but at the same time, they never, you know, did what Marvel did. So I don't think people should be concerned about it. And I don't know, it's kind of so much effort just to, you know, track down every little person and every little con. Like, I mean, it's if this is quote unquote a struggling industry, which it is, do they really want to do that to lose their fans?
Yeah, it would be a very unpopular move. I can understand, because legally they are within the right to do it. And remember, this is also Marvel's owned by Disney. Disney famously sent their representatives around nurseries around the country, and if any nurseries had pictures of Mickey Mouse, or nurseries and orphanages, if any of them had pictures of Mickey Mouse on their walls, they would give them cease and desist letters and threaten to take them to court over it.
Disney are so nice.
I know, lovely, cuddly people.
Don't get me started on representations of women in Disney. That is a fucking subject. The Little Mermaid gave up her only talent was singing. She was an idiot, and that was all she could do was sing, and she gave it up so she could have sexy legs, so she could woo an idiot of a man.
There you go.
She could swim.
So all mermaids.
So what's your opinion on John's question, Ashley?
What was that?
What's your opinion on John's question?
When people go to comic book conventions, I've done this in Adelaide, though I don't know who I asked. It was just an artist. I had no idea what he drew. It was just an Australian comic book, but nobody was asking him to draw anything. I think you should ask them to draw something different. Ask them to draw Willy, and he did.
The American translation of Willy means a cock.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that big corporations should stop being penny grabbers and just let people draw whatever the hell they want. Does it really matter that much?
Yeah, it's not like, you know, they're going to go bankrupt off the back of somebody, you know, stealing sketches based on like one of their characters. And it helps them in a way, because it's licensed, it's marketing for them in terms of getting that image out there and getting it around and further into the public consciousness. And
it's not taking any money off them though, is it? Because you're not going to like get a drawing of Spider-Man and be like, well, that's me spent, I won't be needing another comic book for the rest of my life.
Exactly. And it's not like, you know, the Marvel executives are sitting at the table next to them and they're being deprived of the money because they're going to this independent artist, you know.
Do you have anything you wanted to add for your opinion on this, Merce?
Not really. You guys pretty much said it all.
Oh, come on. I feel bad.
What kind of, like, you and Matt always do this. Like, what kind of reply is that? Like, even if it's
regurgitation. Well, it was funny because I was actually, I thought I didn't know the lagging would be an issue, but I tested out my voice earlier because of my sore throat, and I was like, oh, I sound terrible. And Matt was all like, well, don't worry about speaking too much because everyone else will say everything that you think. And I'm like, okay. And
Well, no, I have no problem if there's re-education. The point is, you still won't say it the same way I will. And who knows, maybe you saying it without the same words could make someone else think of it differently and have more to say, you know? But saying, like, oh, you said they want to say it, it's so short conversation then.
Well, there we go. Men telling women how to talk again.
I know, no, right? If Matt was
active on this episode, I would tell him the same thing. All right, so.
Does Matt have a vagina?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I hope for my sake he does have a pack. But anyway, I guess, I don't know, it was interesting to read that just because being in somewhat of an art circle, it's a really big deal to do commissions of other characters. Like, most commissions don't come from your original creation. They come from, you know, other popular characters or combinations of popular characters. So I can see how it would affect the art world, but on the other hand, it is the whole copyright thing is something that is pretty well known in the arts industry, I guess. And trademarks are pretty, it's a pretty big deal in terms of art being stolen and stuff. So I totally understand where they're coming from, and it's just something that people are going to have to get used to.
Well, but look at DeviantArt. DeviantArt has exploded over the years, and they've actually found talent through DeviantArt. If these people were not allowed to, like, this is why I think they won't do it. If people were suddenly not allowed to do commissions or draw creator company owned characters, they wouldn't see the talent as easily. Like you wouldn't see.
There's a difference between, like, drawing company-owned characters for your own enjoyment and then drawing them to sell them or drawing them on commission, which I think is that's a big difference. So they're saying that you can't do it, or they're implying that you can't do it on commission, which is fine as far as I'm concerned, because for every single person who – I know for a fact the artist get really pissy if someone uses their art. Trust me, I've been around when someone's been all like, oh my gosh, someone's selling like my prints on eBay without telling me they stole my art, blah, blah, blah. So like, I don't understand what the difference between that is and taking a copyright character and doing a commission with it.
Well, in terms of the perspective, like, I have my, oops, I just dropped something. In terms of my own limited perspective, when I was at New York Comic Con, we had all our comics, all our wares, the standard, available at standardcomic.com. we had all of our books out, and by far our highest selling item was the prints of Spider-Man and Batman at Yankee Stadium that Tyler James had drawn up, and they had hanging up in the back wall behind our booth. And it was so disheartening that every time, how many times someone would walk up and would say, hi, interested in any comics? And they'd say, no, how much is your Spider-Man and Yankee Stadium print? And that was probably by far our biggest seller. Hello? Has the call broke up?
No.
I've just got a message.
I think a Marseille might have had a disconnection.
Okay. And edit. so it seems like it's hard to enforce it with creators if the fans and the audience, that's what they want. And maybe you could try theoretically trying to like wean people off that, but I think it would just cause like a downturn in sales all around. Like, because if someone comes up and says, can you draw Spider-Man for me, their eyes are going to glaze over if you start explaining to them the legal complexities of that and say, you know, I'll give you a picture of my own character, Geraldo the Magnificent. People are going to go, well, I just want Spider-Man. They'll go find someone else to just draw a picture of Spider-Man. I think it's going to be very hard to ever practically enforce that idea.
But artists could just do like that sort of, you know, like when you hear a song on TV that's kind of like a song but isn't quite a song. So you could have like Anaconda did.
Yeah.
No, just like it's slightly just a few notes off. So it technically isn't infringement.
It's a bit like Madonna, but a few,
But except she can sing. But you could have like Anaconda did or like Amphibian Man and just have them really like it, but just a wee bit off.
Yeah, because like,
well, basically, from what I understand, the only way that they can legally go after you is if you use, like, for instance, my brother who works for a publisher in Austin, they asked him to do, like, hey, we know that you love the superhero genre. Right now, he's doing comedy books, and they're saying, you know, we might be able to do a backup for DC. Could you draw me a few pages of Batman, Superman playing pool? They're like, oh, but by the way, you cannot use their logos. They can look exactly like Superman and Batman, but change, like, make sure the logos are different, because they didn't have it approved yet. Yeah. And then boom, that's what he did. So basically, with this whole artist thing, all they have to do is technically change the logos of the characters, and Marvel or DC can't do anything.
Okay.
So
I think there's a big
worst case scenario. Yeah.
I think there's a big difference between, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that technically Marvel and DC could do legally, but it's highly unlikely they ever actually will do in the real world. Like, you know, it's the same thing, like, you know, the FBI are highly unlikely to come and arrest you for recording something on the TV. But they might do it. It's legally within the right.
But they might.
I lost my train of thought. I was gonna have an example there. Like, yeah, technically, Marvel and DC, between them, share the copyright and the word superhero, and they own the word superhero. And technically, if someone else uses the word superhero, they can sue them or try and get them. And that's why Alan Moore started using the term science hero in the 1990s, because at the time, when the dispute was particularly bitter between Alan Moore and DC, when he went off to write his own books, he said, well, you better not use the word superhero in them or we'll sue you. So he came up with this term science hero instead.
All right, so John told us about that you have a comedy podcast. Do you want to tell us about it on the show?
Sure. I do a podcast. My mother's a stand-up comic, and I was a stand-up comic, and I do comedy with sketch groups, and I write comedy, and we have a comedy podcast called Jeannie Godley's Podcast, because it's named after her, because she's a cow. And
Jeannie Godley's Podcast.
And we do it every Wednesday, and we talk about what's going on in the world, my love for my man pillow, and things like that.
And an uncomfortable amount of time talking about each other's vaginas and horrible things like that.
No, we don't. We just she's often, like, to this week, she accidentally jammed my boob in the door, so that was a topic this week.
Wow.
How exactly? So
pretty much anything goes.
Like, you know, you had an argument, like, you know, and she swung the door, or like, how does that actually happen?
Right. Well, my dad has Asperger's, and he was briefly telling us in a bizarre way about a cult he joined in the '80s so he could get free tea, and then he just kind of left the room, and we both ran after him to question him further on this bizarre cult free he had tea. Joined. My entire childhood was spent joining religious groups that had free tea and biscuits so that he could get free tea. But we ran after him to question him further on it, and she just, like, shut the door behind her and didn't know I was just directly behind her, and my bib got caught in the door.
Ouch.
So it was just one of those accidents, I suppose.
I definitely recommend all you guys check out the Jeannie Godley podcast. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. I listen to it every Wednesday night. It's appointment listening for me.
How many episodes in are you guys so far?
86, 87, maybe 84. Oh. Maybe we just did 84, I think. I don't know, John, how many am I in?
I think it's 84.
Right, yeah, about 84 we're in. But it's good fun. I mean, we have amazingly bizarre chats about all sorts of stuff, and John did say that I was a celebrity, which is a lie. I just appeared briefly on a comedy show called How Not to Live Your Life as a roller skating bearded lady on the BBC at
that
Christmas.
That makes me count as a TV star.
Well, apparently, aside from John, you have another fan on this show. Mercedes listens to it, so I guess, how do you enjoy it, Mercedes? Like, what's your favorite episode, if you can recall, or anything like that? Anything you want to say about it?
Oh, yeah, because I totally remember episodes. I don't even remember the episode.
Hey, you're clear now. That's awesome. You're clear. Finally.
She's cute.
Like, 40 like 40 minutes late, you're clear.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm fashionably late to the party. Gosh, I don't know. I've only listened to, like, one
perfect.
Or two, I think. Oh, thank. I know. It's because I am.
the new bike.
I don't know. I've only listened to like one or two, so I don't have a favorite one. And I enjoy it. I mean, you know, I tend to get caught up in the accent a little bit, so I'll just sit there listening, and then I'll be like, frick, I don't have any idea what they just said, and I have to go back and re-listen.
Yeah, we're trying to be clearer, but it's difficult. Sometimes I'll just do it in an accent so that the because we've got a huge listenership in America, and I don't know how they understand anything we say, because we just get quicker and quicker and quicker until we're just like gnomes.
Yeah. Well,
you're not,
John,
you're not as bad as
is
John.
That it's like, although it's a comedy podcast, you do actually talk about a lot of current affairs type stuff, and do it really well, I think. There's actually a lot of stories in the news that I hadn't heard of until I listened to the podcast, and oh, that's quite important actually, and I've read up more about it.
Yeah, I do a lot of research before the podcast, so.
With John, one time we joked about him doing his American accent, which is like kind of a southerner, like Texan type of accent. Like, John, do your American accent for
me. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. My God.
That's not your accent.
Do you want to hear my American accent?
Someone like, oh my God, yeah.
No, you have like a deep, like deep southern kind of accent, like almost like.
I don't know what region you're talking about.
I know all of John's accents.
Yeah, both of them.
We were in drama class together when we were 16. I know all of John's very, very varied, talented acting skills.
Yes, that I've since forgotten.
I want to hear Ashley's American accent.
Okay, here we go. It is kind of southern and probably offensive, but here we go. My mama said when I was a little girl that my daddy used to beat me with his slipper. I lost my virginity when I was 13 with my brother Beau. He wasn't technically my brother. He was my mom's second cousin's wife's son.
It's Texas. It's perfect.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And that's just like, oh.
I'm just impressed. Was it Starship Sofa you did, Ashley, where you had a whole hour-long reading of a story and did it entirely in an accent and didn't slip once?
Yeah, I had to do a lesbian vampire story set in Florida in the boondocks. And my dad was like, oh, I can't wait to listen to it. And I was like, Dad, please don't. I just talk about Muff an awful lot.
Wow.
Sorry, American translation, Muff is pussy.
I know, I got that.
I know what it is.
That was kind of obvious.
Yeah, we have Lady Gaga here, you know.
Yeah.
But wait, is it easier for you guys to do a southern accent than try and do just a like I guess you can say regular American accent?
Yeah.
Oh no, you can do like
across the southern whenever you talk.
No, you can do Cali like girl? A West Coast, like, oh my God, like that is so amazing. Look at that girl's butt. It is so big.
Cali girl. Wow.
That is not a West Coast.
No, but I promise you though, John had like a deep voice thing where he sounded like
he wants
like,
me to speak like, to him in my John, deep voice.
Like John Wayne type of voice. Like it was insane. Like he was like so he just had so deep American like Southerner.
I'm doing like, hello, pilgrim.
Is that your sexy time voice, John?
What's that?
Is that your sexy time voice?
It was,
yeah, ladies back to the house, you're like, voice. Hi.
It's how the magic happens.
Surge. What you're doing right now. Are you wearing an Aquaman costume?
Always.
John, what's the accent I always had you do when I couldn't understand you?
Oh, this was so infuriating. Every time I tried to talk to Marseille on the phone at San Diego Comic Con, we're trying to find each other, and I'm going, where are you? I'm standing outside in the queue, where are you? And she goes, I can't understand you, John. Can you talk in your English voice? I can understand. And I'm like, so I'm standing this pure threat in front of a crowd, pure angry. I'm like, Marseille, where are you?
Did you do this accent?
Are you outside in the veranda?
Oh gosh,
I felt so bad too. But like your voice, it just like blended in with all the other background noises. I was like, ah.
Your voice sounds like a crowd, John.
Yeah, my voice sounds like a crowd. I was like, white noise.
There's 20 people.
Marseille would actually just call her friends and say, "Can you talk to my friend in your Scottish voice?" I'm like, "Hello."
That's not true. It only happened like once. First of all, Shelly threatened me with death if I didn't put you on the phone. She's like, I need to hear John. If you don't, I will never forgive you. And I was like, okay.
She's like, say fuckity bye to me. Fuckity bye.
Help it if you're novelty over here.
Yeah. So I've decided now that I'm so frustrated at being the token Scotsman, I'm going to gradually get more Scottish people to take over the show one by one. Ashley is the first, and eventually there'll be no one left. It'll just be an entirely Scottish podcast. Right, we've got some questions.
Now we're my dead American body.
Yeah. We've got some questions lined up. Just take a wee look.
Hot from John's Facebook page.
Yeah, hot from my... No one else bothers to post up this. It's only me because I need the validation.
Because I don't have many friends that read comics as passionately as I do.
True.
Like, some some Vertigo every now and then, but they don't read weekly or anything like that, so I don't bother.
I keep my involvement on this podcast a secret.
Oh, you're ashamed?
We embarrass you?
No, I just don't tell anyone. I'm just still like, oh, yeah.
It's not that I'm ashamed. I just prefer not to tell anyone.
Yeah.
Most of the women that know me pretend they don't. So it's all right.
I actually, because of the show, I have groupies and everything. I don't know why you wouldn't tell people. You know?
Yeah. Where are you keeping all these groupies?
Wait.
In his basement.
I knew it.
So, first question comes from Matt Johnston, who usually says, John, why are you so gay? But this week he says, Sergio, why are you so Mexican?
Charming. Very charming.
Sergio's actually Dominican, I'll have you know.
Yes.
Just like the song from Scrubs.
Yes. It's the ongoing struggle between us in our friendship.
Yeah, that's the inherent racism that's the core of all.
It's just each other so much.
Yes.
Warren Manns asks, where do babies come from?
Your ma.
Yeah, that's the answer. And Matt Johnson again says, we've seen a pretty recent set of books over the past few years dedicated to villains. Luther in action, Loki in Journey into Mystery, and Deathstroke with his ongoing book in the New 52. What is one villain or set of villains looking at you, Flash Rogues, that you would like to see given their own ongoing series?
Ooh, he actually asked a serious question and a good one at that. I have to think about this. Yeah, it blew my fucking mind. Exactly, Matt.
Well, I'd he says the Flash Rogues, that's who I'd choose. I'd have, like, the Rogues as their own ongoing series, a kind of group of misfits, arranging heists and doing stuff. That'd be a cool series.
I really enjoyed the Black Adam mini, but I feel like DC was going a good direction with the Marvel family, and then they kind of made some bad turns to where I probably wouldn't want one with him right now. First, I want them to fix the Marvel family, but... I'm trying to think which Rogues Gallery, which I guess I really... It'll be pretty cool just to have a Vandal Savage book, like, in his past.
Rhapsody, like, yeah.
Well, it would be kind of like the whole... Like, granted, I didn't read it, but I understand that, like, kind of like how Old Man Logan was for Marvel, but for Vandal Savage, you know? Like, you'd see, like, different stuff, and... I don't know. Wow, this is actually a pretty hard question for me to answer. Do you have anything more to say?
I'm here. I muted my mic, and then I was like, "How do I mute it?"
Any villain?
I like the really random villains, but I don't know. Just any of like the kind of lesser known or the ones that like time forgot. It would be fun to see something new and interesting come out of those.
Well, but you, Ashley, is there any villains that you like in comics that you'd like to read a book about?
I don't know. I think I'd like to see like the mundanity of being a villain, if rather than a specific villain. I'd love to see just a book about like the struggles of being a baddie, of just the everyday to day life of being evil.
This is a story I've always wanted to write if I can find a good angle for it. I love the idea, like, you know, of like a deadbeat supervillain, you know, who has to pay the bills and has like, you know, a baby. And
I think that's why
they work at Starbucks, you know.
the idea for the cover, I've already got the idea for the issue one cover, which would be the villain in this full supervillain costume with one of those little, like, you know, baby harnesses that go over someone's chest with the baby sitting in it.
Sort of like when the X-Men did the Hangover thing.
Yeah, I bet. Something like
that. I think that's why, I think that's why well, obviously I liked Identity Crisis for different reasons, but I really, I guess I was touched more from the Boomerang stuff, where you know, he kills Tim Drake's dad and everything, and he gets killed as well. It's because he saw, you know, Boomerang say, "Hey man, come on man, give me something, man. I need to, you know, I'm good. I can do this, you know." So that was, I guess that was one of the reasons why I liked that part so well, because you saw the villain like struggling to make ends meet, get his rep back. So with that idea, I guess you can try to take an Aquaman villain that some people think is lame, like Fisherman or something, because Fisherman has a pretty bad name to go to get respect with, for it's one. Fisherman. And his gimmick was like having like exploding lures and like death traps that are kind of fishing themed. So that could work in a way, or basically like a new type of Secret Six book, only the focus is like these are really all rejects, like even worse than Secret Six.
Well, that's my answer. Bring back Secret Six.
It'd be kind of cool if the Fisherman was like had to end up working on Deadliest Catch.
Yeah. Ashley's obsessed with Deadliest Catch.
Oh, I love it.
I would love think of joining the cast of Deadliest Catch if they asked you to do it.
If I could go on a boat without vomiting, I would go straight away, but I get terrible like seasickness. I get seasickness on the ferry to Rossi, so...
Aww.
I went fishing once in my life. It was part of some summer camp I went to at school. And I think it was me and Andrew Locke on and he brought this fish on board and it slowly died, and Andrew was just screaming, I want to go off this boat and I was just staring kind of horrified and still horror as this fish kind of flapped its way to death, and it was really
I did go on a crabbing boat in British Columbia and the crab bit me, so
never again.
No. Okay. I don't like dungeness crabs, are evil.
Well, for the very best way for me to answer this question, I guess to finally answer it, is that I think not ongoing series, but mini series. That way, like, you're telling like a really good story or a few stories, but a mini series. I'd love to see like just Despero in the New 52. I'd love to see more of Johnny Sorrow, a JSA villain. Pretty much any JSA villain, I would love to see. It has to be Earth 2 though. I don't know. I think this idea works better as a miniseries, because I can't think of an ongoing for anyone, you know, unless it was a new Secret Six is all. What's the next question?
This question comes from Alex and says, "John, why are you so Mexican?" it's actually because I've been to San Diego twice, which makes me the most Mexican person in Scotland.
I've been to Mexico, so I think I beat you there.
I've actually been to Mexico as well. I forgot I went to Mexico for a day as part of the school trip we went to California that time.
Oh my goodness, was it Tijuana?
I still have a little marble bull that I bought at a souvenir shop in Mexico sitting on the shelf somewhere.
Ooh, this question's for Ashley.
Well, yes, it says, "With Ashley sitting in, I'll ask a sex question. Ralph Dibny, Plastic Man, or Reed Richards, who would you rather make a freaky sex toy out of, and why?"
Right, well, as I'm kind of a bit of a noob and I have no idea who they are, I'm just going by names. I'm saying Plastic Man because that seems to be the more reliable enduring service.
Let me give you a little choice, by the way.
He seems kinkier than Dibny or Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, basically, do you want a guy who's like more like of a detective? So it's like, think like foreplay, like asking you questions. Do you want a freaky guy, Plastic Man, or do you want the intelligent guy who's going
to
ask, are you okay? Are you okay?
I'm sticking with Plastic Man based on what you've just said, because I don't like talk. It irritates me.
I would choose Plastic Man as well, probably.
Yeah, so I'm going, I don't want some smart aleck who's like putting me down and contradicting me, so I'm just going to go for Plastic Fantastic.
Yeah. And you mean you could change the shape around a bit, because he can change the shape to make anything.
Yeah, he's definitely the most versatile. The most.
Yeah. And it'll be like
out of them when you're done.
It'll be like banging Odo from Deep Space Nine.
Oh my goodness, I'm watching that series right now, and every single time I see him, that's what I think about.
Thinking with the sex toy.
I'm like, geez, what can he do with his body?
I know.
What show is this?
It's Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine.
I never was a trucker. I never was a trucker.
Which, by the way, has a very dirty sound to it anyway. Deep space.
balls deep.
Matt says that Ashley is a core and better version of me. It's all about right. Mercedes asks, why was John in an all-female chat before the OPP? It seems shifty to me. That was my harem. Jonathan Rector, the artist of The Standard, find out more information, go to thestandardcomic.com, has got a question. He says, how many of you guys read manga? And if so, do you have any recommendations?
I don't.
I used to.
What books did you like?
I've read... I don't really have any recommendations because I'm not a real big manga fan. But I've read Black Cat and Bleach. And I've read this really terrible one.
What's it called?
I was chasing after a girl who had strawberry. So, yeah, like, that's my thing. Bleach was really good. I liked that, but it's super popular, so.
Super mainstream.
It's super mainstream.
I'm not a big manga reader, but if I had any recommendation to make, it would be this book I read called Uzumaki. It's by Junji Ito. It's a horror book, and it is one of the most genuinely, like, pant-shittingly scary comics I've ever read. To describe the idea makes it sound very stupid. It's basically a town that's been, like, possessed by spirals. And
like spiral staircases?
Yeah, it's basically like, say some kind of curse that involves spirals, and people see spirals everywhere and everything. There's evil contained within the spiral shape. And it sounds dumb to explain it, but when you read it and you see it and it works really well, you have this guy like that puts himself in this like kind of grinder and twists his whole body into the shape of a spiral. When they try like and burn his body, like, you know, at the funeral to try like and cleanse his spirit or whatever, like, you know, it comes up in spirals of smoke. And it just builds up, and it's hard to explain, but it's really terrifying. So, John, if you want a good manga and you like being scared, check out Uzumaki. And I hear all the works of Junji Ito are really scary, so maybe check him out.
I don't read manga. I just wanted to say it properly because I know that there's people who could actually get offensive to that. It's pronounced manga. I don't care.
Manga.
I don't read manga.
Manga.
But it's called manga.
Manga.
And I have
whatever.
Trouble getting into some Japanese stuff, so.
Manga?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in with that.
My dad will often go to bookshops and try and get me comic books, but he has no idea. And often, I think because he's like a guy in his 40s and he goes into a comic book shop, the guy in the shop will give him some sort of weird Japanese porn book that he'll bring home and he's not looked in it.
Hentai.
And then he'll open it up and it'll just be people fisting. You've got porn again, and it just happens over and over again, and it really annoys him, and he just can't cope, and he doesn't want to say in the shop, can you please make sure there's no dirtiness?
That's so funny.
Well, that tentacle.
John, I want to say the next question, John.
Okay.
I like the question. So, Stuart Piper asks, if the off-panel crew were the Justice League, which heroes would you be and why? And it's funny that question is asked because if you go on our blog site, you'll see our logo is certain characters. The idea of the logo is that we are our favorite characters, like kind of cosplaying them poorly. And who wants to go first as to who they'd be, who they are in the logo? It's kind of obvious, but...
Yeah, I'll let you go because you're the most obvious one, Serge. So you go first.
Yeah, so in the logo, you have a character of a person trying to be Aquaman, and he is lifting up his trident, trying to be badass, strike a pose, and then you have John as Joker squirting something in his face, water.
Squirting something in someone's face?
Well, because like it's not a flower. I told my friend to draw a flower. He drew like a little like ball that has water coming out of it. So then you have Alex is not on the show, but Alex is obviously Batman, and like the dummy he is, he tried to use his bat rope, and he has John and him tangled up, and Twi can explain her love for her character that she's chosen for the logo.
Oh, I have to explain it. It's because she's perfect, and I'm perfect.
Well, what's her name?
Oh, sorry. It's Black Canary. It's Dinah Laura Lance. So it's Black Canary 2. And I think one of the reasons was because at one time I was playing like 4 different versions of her in the RPGs.
So
no, I don't love her that much.
So tell everyone, John, you know, why we all demanded that you be Joker in that.
Well, the Joker's not part of the Justice League. I think it'd be kind of worried if they let him in.
That's true. Yeah, my bad. Okay, so if you were to be a hero, because you're twisted, so you shouldn't be, but if you were to be a hero, who would you be?
If I had to be a hero from the Justice League, I would choose Wonder Woman, because I'm all about equality. I could say Batman, because he's my favorite.
Alex, Batman, you can't be Batman. You're gonna piss off Alex.
Oh, no. I can't say... Maybe Green Lantern, then. That's probably a safe choice.
Safe choice. Well, you did cosplay as
I saw a Green Lantern costume, so... Yeah.
And then we had in the logo, you have Matt as Green Arrow because, you know, he pretty much is a worse version of Ollie if Ollie was to always speak his mind.
And the question that follows up that Stuart asked would be, and in the above scenario, what villain would we have Matt play?
Who's that? He appeared in a JSA title.
Captain
he
was
Nasty. Fighting... He was fighting Damage in Johns's 1 year later run. He was some Confederate dude. Riot? Rampage? What was it called?
I can't remember.
Marseille, do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I think I've read it.
No, Marseille.
It's JSA, right?
Yeah. Like, Damage was fighting
about. Like, I can see him. It was in Georgia. I have no idea.
Yeah, it was in Georgia. Actually, I have the book. It's too far away.
If I had to choose a villain,
I don't want to reach that far.
If I had to choose a villain for Matt to be, it'd probably be Poison Ivy, because like Poison Ivy, Matt has a vagina.
Wow.
I don't know. After looking at her costume, I don't know if she does anymore.
She has one of the worst designs in the New 52. It's just weird.
They actually based it on like Uma Thurman in the 1997 Batman and Robin movie with her green bodysuit.
Best ever Batman.
Oh, I don't know. It just looks like, you know, it's all been filmed in a really low rent gay bar.
But is that the one where he has nipples?
Yeah, like the super.
Yeah, no, that's the best Batman, the one where he has nipples.
Oh, it's not. Don't get me wrong,
Ashley.
You know that makes
my child's getting upset.
I know it upsets him, it's why I'm saying it.
She almost made me cry in a coffee shop in public when she said she didn't like the Dark Knight.
I hate Christian Bale, he's such a knob.
I didn't like Dark Knight either.
My God, this is why we don't have women on the podcast.
See, Christian Bale, Ethan Hawke, and Kevin Bacon all skeeve me out. Like, I think they're the scariest, freakiest human beings alive.
I don't have anything personal against the actors. It just wasn't. It's not a movie I'd rewatch.
Isn't there a problem with Kevin Bacon? Not that he's like unpleasant or anything. It's just that he's so convincing at playing a paedophile.
Yeah, that is my problem with Kevin Bacon.
So he probably has one.
Ashley, if you were to be a member of the Justice League, who would you be?
I wouldn't dress up. The only person I dress up as is Lieutenant Uhura from Star Trek, so...
So you'd be some random person there just...
dressed up as Lieutenant Uhura.
Next question is...
My question.
That's just Matt Johnson and Stuart Piper talking dirty to each other. You have a wife, Stuart. What are you doing? Sergio Martinez said, or that's with Sergio who's here, says, John, do you read horror books because it gives you a good hard-on? No, it gives me a bad hard-on. and that is brings us to the end of our questions. So thanks everyone who submitted questions once more.
Before we end the show, I want to give you a plug-in. You guys just finished your cover for Standard number 3, right?
Oh, yeah! I mean, who would even think I would mention the Standard?
Every damn time I have to throw dust on you, a fairy dust on you to make you shine. Like,
yeah.
here's your plug-in, all right?
Yeah, so if you notice on the standardcomic.com, today. We posted the cover for the standard issue 3. The art is all done. The cover is done. A magnificent cover by the incredibly talented Jonathan Richter. And now it's just a matter of the colours being finished and the lettering being done and then going to the printers. So we're hoping to have the book finished by next week and have it out in shops in Scotland in early March.
Is there a badger on the cover?
A badger? No, it's a skunk.
It's a skunk. Right. Is it because of the villain, the skunk?
Yeah, the skunk shows up in issue 3.
Awesome. I remember when I made when I made a little micro for that.
Yep, skunk is back. So, yeah, and also it'll be available digitally, I believe. I'm not 100% sure if the digital stuff's still going ahead because Comics Tribe, that's been taken off this year. And I think Tyler James is actually planning to relaunch the books in America and get them in shops around America. So I don't know what's happening there. I think it should still be available digital, but I'll keep you guys informed.
That sounds awesome, John.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So, yeah, does anyone have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Why? Marseille?
Nope, I have nothing to say. What am I plugging?
The other podcast that Matt and Alex goof off on.
Oh, yes. So I'm going to plug this for them, even though I haven't technically been on it yet, because Alex didn't speak.
Well, it's part of our Pulp Podcast Network thingy, so
yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's basically just Matt and Alex sitting there talking about anything and everything that comes to mind. I did sit down and listen to all of the podcasts. They'll be very happy to know that. And it's very entertaining and interesting. And they talk about everything from TV to what time period they would like to travel to. And it's just very interesting listening to them. And they have very sexy voices.
Yeah.
Very sexy voices.
Not sexy. Yeah,
so that is the Dork Knights.
I'll check that as well. I've not listened to it yet, but I do now. So I'll check that out. Yes, I guess that about brings things to a close. I'd like to thank Ashley for taking a Friday night to join us losers. It was good having you on, having a good different voice.
I had such a good time. Thank you for having me. And I'd love to come back on and regale you with vagina a lot more.
Before we go, who's your favorite host here? Come on, be truthful here.
It's always going to be John Lees. John Lees and I have a bond that goes back nearly a decade. And yeah, as I said in my comments, aww, we were both molested by the same boy at school.
Yes.
Oh, well, you're never... Well, I hope you enjoyed your time on the show because you're never coming back with that answer.
We'll have a big one disguise. You can use a different accent every week and be a different guest every week.
I can come on as my southerner who
checks
with her brother.
So, yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up with there. You've been joined by Sergio Martinez.
Good night and good luck. Ha!
Thank you. Bye! Ashley Story.
What's up?
And I'm John Lees. Good night and good luck. Fuck you, Sergio.